From the Tie Cats Audio Network, this is Tie Cats Today with Braden Neville.
On today's episode, TSN's Matthew Schenetti joins the show to break down the major moves the Tie Cats have made so far this offseason, how they match up in what's going to be one of the most interesting seasons the league has seen in years, and what new head coach and offensive coordinator Scott Milanovich can bring to the team. It's Friday, March 15th, 2024, and this is Tie Cats Today. Happy Friday, friend of the show. Matt Schenetti will join me today. Always great to get his perspective on the league and how things are shaping up. And I mean, we see the moves in the CFL every offseason, but something about this year is different. Basically, every team making some pretty big changes to their team, minus maybe Winnipeg and Montreal. And it's tough to see how the landscape of the league is going to shape up come time for the season. And it will be interesting to see how the Tie Cats fit into that landscape. Hopefully, Matt can help us break that all down. Schenetti, it's good to see you, man. It feels like it's been a while since we last spoke.
Oh, Brandon, it's good to talk to you, brother. Yeah, if we're talking, that means football's close, man. So I'm excited.
I want to take a deep dive into the offseason moves we've seen from the Tie Cats, and the first one being the biggest one, in my opinion, the re-signing of Tim White, the guy everyone was hoping would return, has returned, but how crucial was it to get Bo Levi Mitchell's number one target back here in Hamilton?
Yeah, I think it's important because when you talk about the top receivers in the CFL, Tim White is up there. And seeing the way that he operated last year, knowing the injuries that had happened at the quarterback position, and to see him consistently step up, have a 1,000-yard receiving season, but also be a leader in the way he was. And, you know, when we asked him about this, I remember you and I did, about how the adjustments and kind of the mental work that he had to put in to kind of adjust to whether it was Matthew Shilton or Levi Mitchell in or Taylor Powell in. And that shows, obviously, Tim White is an exceptionally talented and intelligent receiver. But to operate that way in the midst of an offensive coaching change just shows how important he is to the offensive makeup of the Tie Cats. So to have him back, and listen, anyone who's going to go ahead, Tie Cats fans have been around the block, CFL fans have been around the block, to take anything in terms of the negotiations as there's going to be some carryover into the season. No, that's talk. That's negotiations. And once the deal is signed, guys are professionals, and Tim White is absolutely a professional and so key for the Tie Cats.
Yeah. And we know he's staying in shape. I believe he was even overseas with World Vision. He's been doing a lot of stuff. He's always training. He's doing those beach
workouts.
There's
a lot of guys. If you go on social media, there's a lot of guys who are making it known that if they're doing some work overseas, you know, Brady Oliveira is another one.
Yeah.
He was over in Bali, I think. And he was doing split squats with like 5 plates on each side or something. So guys are keeping tuned up, ready for the season. So that's always exciting to see. And, you know, listen, social media, and there have been a lot of guys who've used the CFL platform and social media to show, to flex a little bit on the rest of the league. But everybody's got to strap up the pads come late May for training camp. So it's all good on social media. And not saying that Tim's not putting the work in, but when you put the pads on, that's when everyone's really going to know how you are.
Yeah, can't wait. Ron Joyce in less than 2 months. A lot of work done on this defense and signing guys. A lot of ex-Argos making their way down the QEW. It's they're all jumping ship, it seems like. But the first guy I want to talk about is Jamal Peters, such a dominant force on the secondary for Toronto and now making his way to Hamilton. But what can you say about the signing there?
You talk about length. You're talking about catch radius. You're talking about a guy who can be a ball hawk. And the one thing about Jamal Peters, too, and I think is understated, is the leadership qualities that he had on that defense. And sometimes leadership isn't rah-rah, but it's work ethic and professionalism. And Jamal Peters, when he came back to the Argos after, you know, exploring his NFL opportunities, did show that. And you know, obviously a part of the team that won the Grey Cup in 2022. So it's an important signing. And one thing to have someone at the cornerback position who can be a potential turnover machine or someone who could disrupt what the offense wants to do, especially from the passing game, is huge. And Jamal Peters will definitely bring that to Hamilton.
Yeah, that guy you can tell is so fired up. I've talked to him a couple times, and he seems like he's ready to get
them. He's already a Tie Cat. All, I mean, Dosky, Wee-Wee, and, you know, Black and Gold and all that. So he's ready to move on. And if you're a Tie Cat, if you're a Tie Cat fan, and you see – a former Argo, a former Grey Cup winning Argo, and I think of Dylan Wynn also was a guy like that. Obviously, now he's moved on to the Alouettes, but he was a guy who embraced being a part of the Ticats culture, and it looks like Jamal Peters is ready to dive right into it.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see him. Another guy who seems like he's already embracing that culture, Brandon Barlow, another one of those ex-Argos. Last year, 9 sacks in 14 games. I don't even think he started most of those games, but was still so successful on that D-line for the Argos. But another guy here coming over, what do you think of?
Yeah, I think the one thing about Barlow, and the same as with Dwayne Hendricks too, is now they're, you know, depending on the kind of responsibility that they'll be given in Mark Washington's defense, a lot more might be expected of him. The one thing about that Argos defense is it was, on the defensive line especially, it had depth. Yeah. And to be, you know, the Ticats will always, far be it for me to remind Ticats fans of how important the defensive line has been to the history of the football team, but they will add something, and they will bring a level of experience over from Corey Mace's defense that is going to be, I think, really, really crucial to what the Ticats want to do on their pass rush. But if they're the main guys, I mean, that's you know, not, defensive linemen aren't play in, play out, especially if you're starting. But when, if you're starting and you're in there, you're meant to be a disruptor, especially in this defense. So there'll be a lot of expected out of them, but they come in with that resume and that work that they've already put down when they're with the Argos. So Ticats fans should be really, really excited about what their defensive line is going to look like, especially, and this can't be understated, Simone Lawrence retiring means that this entire defense now is going to be looking for, I'm not saying a new face, not a new identity, but a new kind of energy. And everyone coming in here, you know, Jordan Williams also is coming in, and Hedris is coming in. It's going to be interesting to see who steps up and who says, you know what, I'm going to accept that energy. It won't be right away. It won't be the first half. May not be the first half of the season. But I am interested to see as this defense matures, and Simone wasn't the singular piece in the defense. I mean, and Mark Washington and Orlando Steinhauer would be quick to remind me of that. But he was somebody who was a tone setter. And it's the work that the fans and guys like me and you get to see it a little bit being inside the facility, but how that one guy or those couple guys kind of elevate themselves, take on that leadership position. It might be these new guys coming in, but I think that's pretty exciting to see.
It feels like this D-line got faster and younger. Like, that's what I'm getting from this and gathering from what they're trying to go for here on this entire defense, is they're looking for more speed and more youth here.
Yeah, that might be the case. But I always, when coming into training camp, I have seen it enough, you know, and times when the Ticats were expected to have a certain kind of defense, or the Argos were expected to have a certain kind of defense, the Red Blacks too, and those are all three teams that I cover regularly. Defensive personalities, they usually kind of evolve as the season goes on, because you can't expect injuries, and you can't expect how guys are going to adjust to a playbook, and you can't expect how they're going to adjust to not only the offense they're facing in practice, but in games. So it's not that I don't think that you're wrong or right. It's more like I'm interested to see what this looks like in training camp, because it's not just the way that this defensive line reacts to Mark Washington. It's how they react to Scott Milanovich. And, you know, I have been around Milanovich enough and seen enough of his training camps to know there'll be a lot of the players. They'll expect it to come and put the work in right away, because there'll be a lot demanded of them physically and mentally as well. And I'm sure all the players totally know that. But as for where the speedometer is going to be on this defense right away, as with anything else, expectations are always set high when you make the kind of moves the Ticats have made. But it usually takes a little bit for everyone to get their feet under them.
You mentioned him a bit in Jordan Williams, but I mean, how crucial is it to have that national linebacker, a guy with his experience? He broke into the league with a bang, I believe, having the most tackles for a rookie ever in the CFL. But how crucial is it to have that linebacker, and not only that, but that national youth coming over here?
Yeah, it's a ratio changer, right? I mean, offensively, it's it's not dissimilar to having a Canadian be a running back for you. It's a skill position, and having a Canadian in that position or a national in that position. But you know, certainly Jordan Williams has dealt with some injury issues, and obviously the Ticats wouldn't have gone ahead and invested in him if they had any concerns. So that's really not a topic of conversation. But you know, he came to Toronto with a certain amount of expectation. Maybe it didn't work out the way that he or the Argos planned, and that happens. But coming over to Hamilton, again, we talk about that linebacking core, and I'm not going ahead and saying Jordan Williams has to carry the banner that Samori Lawrence took for so long. But being a linebacker, especially in the Canadian Football League, so much is demanded of you, especially mentally, in a game, and depending on the kind of relationship you build with your DCs. So I think it's crucial, because it will allow, as training camp goes on, if depending on the ratio that the Ticats want to go with, it really is huge. But I can tell you, I imagine that Jordan Williams, knowing what he did with the BC Lions and knowing that reputation that he built coming into the league, will be very, very eager to come to Hamilton to remind everybody, yeah, I am still that guy.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not far removed from it. It's only a couple of years ago that he came into the league and had those big seasons. I want to get your take on a pretty interesting move here. The Ticats acquiring Thaddeus Moss, son of Randy Moss, former national champ. Could this be the return of the tight end, if you will, in Hamilton, having a guy like that?
You know what? I think, first of all, the Thaddeus Moss I'm excited to see what he can bring. You know, I think everyone will be excited to see if a certain other Moss senior comes to McMaster, or if, as everyone always knows, the senior Moss also has a segment on Sunday NFL Countdown to see if he'll feature his son at any point through the CFL season. And the tight end position, especially as it has what it's become in the NFL, you would see, again, the game is different, but you could see some of those things working very well in the CFL, especially those guys, especially in the modern game where guys are big and strong and fast. And it's very easy to go ahead and point to, you know, the Rob Gronkowski's and the Travis Kelce's of the world and say, you know, we could have someone up here who's like that. But those guys are, you know, Hall of Famers in a different stratosphere. But knowing what is expected out of receivers in Scott Milanovich's offense, as I do, or pass catchers, I should say, but also what will be expected out of guys in blocking situations. You know, having a tight end who can get off the line quick, but can also add that extra layer of protection for Bo Levi Mitchell. And this is crucial for somebody like Bo, because, you know, he's coming into this season, I imagine, if you're thinking of anyone with a chip on their shoulder or who will put that chip on their shoulder, it'll be Bo Levi Mitchell. And he will be so keen to develop relationships with his offensive pieces and to know that he's got big, strong targets who at a moment's notice can go ahead and get off a block and then go get into space and, you know, get into the second level and get some hard yards for him. That'll be so, so, so crucial for not just, you know, Bo doesn't lack for confidence, but this offense and if adding a tight end aspect to it that adds that strength and that speed, and Scott Milanovich is able to do that, watch out, because this offense could move fast and be very physical.
Yeah, and Coach Scott Milanovich mentioned to me that he did kind of use a tight end last season, but it was an O-lineman kind of that would the odd time would fill in for that role. So it'll be interesting to see how that fits in, if it fits in. And we know Scott Milanovich is an offensive genius, so it's going to be fun to watch him and what his offense will look like. And speaking of that, what do you think about him coming in as head coach and having a full training camp as offensive coordinator and coach here and coming in a full season?
So the first season I covered of the Canadian Football League, well, I mean, I covered the 2011 season, but I came in half, almost towards the end of the season. The 2012 season, I spent a lot of time watching Scott Milanovich in his first year as a head coach in this league when he was with the Argos and the University of Toronto, Mississauga. And I watched the kind of relationship he built with Ricky Ray and then Trevor Harris and then Zach Caleros. But not only that, you look at some of the great pieces on that team. You think of Chad Cackard and Dontrell Inman. The game has changed since Scott Milanovich certainly was with the Argos and won the 100th Grey Cup. I mean, it's been a decade. And a decade in football is almost like a generation and a half, just the way the game goes and how it evolves. And but Scott Milanovich has also gone to the NFL and had a certain amount of success with the Jacksonville Jaguars and then moving on to the Indianapolis Colts. And the one thing that and I know this is often cliche to say, but this is a student of the game. This is somebody who has been very fortunate to work under some great coaches. Not only work under great coaches, you know, you certainly look at Mark Trestman, but work alongside great coaches. And we often times, to the chagrin of many Ticat fans, elevate the 2012 Argos coaching staff to some kind of level. But it's true. I mean, the guys that he worked alongside have become Hall of Famers in their own respect. And you know, one of the key guys there is Orlando Steinauer. But he comes back, Scott Milanovich, from the NFL. And speaking to him, as I have also, with a fresh perspective. This is not a guy who is like, you know what, I'm stuck in my ways and this is what's worked and this is what's always going to work. He's someone who comes in and says, hey, this might have worked with Anthony Calvillo. This might have worked with Ricky Ray. But it may not work with Bo Levi Mitchell. And, you know, speaking to him last year, I think the only thing that disappointed him is he didn't have more time to work with Bo on certain details. And you've heard this as well, not just, you know, footwork, but release and all this stuff, not because Bo Levi Mitchell lacks anything, not at all. It's because Scott Milanovich says, you know what, I can add something. We can tweak something here. And Bo can be as successful as Bo has been in years past. And they're both hyper-competitive, but they're both students of the game. And I'm Milanovich and Mitchell.
Yeah.
And to see that relationship grow, and Scott Milanovich, I can tell you this, will not just be an offensive-only coach. He's not going to stick to his room. But he will be able to – he will go and he will kind of cross-pollinate into the different rooms, not because he's going to be meddling, but because he is so intent on building a culture. And the one thing I will say is this. The Argos have a stable situation now in BMO Field, and they have a facility. You know, you really got to tip your hat to some of the work that Scott Milanovich did. And it did not go unnoticed across the league that he basically was dealing with a team after the 2013 season that was like a nomadic team. They were all over the place. And, you know, ownership situation being what it was there, he was able to really go ahead and build on and try to go ahead. And, you know, you saw the success of Trevor Harris. I mean, he spent time with Blanche. You see, watched the success of Zach Collaros. But, and I'll finish my point by saying this, not only is it going to be great for the players, but I think about Jared Baines, who's coming in now as quarterback's coach. And Scott Milanovich is also in a coaching perspective, a pay it forward kind of guy. He had opportunities and was able to learn under guys like Mark Trestman. And he's looking at a guy like Jared Baines and being like, hey, this is a young Canadian who not only knows the game and loves the game, but I'm going to add something to him. I want to bring him into the quarterback room. I want him to learn the position because that's not the position he played in the game. So there's going to be multiple benefits to this. But this isn't going to be easy. This is, you know, not only a change, as we've already talked about, with certain players on defense, a lot is going to be expected of Bo Levi Mitchell this season, especially after, you know, he went ahead and restructured his contract. But a lot of it is going to be expected of Scott Milanovich coming in. And it'll take time. For those who remember, they were 9-9 when they won the Grey Cup in 2012.
True. That's a good point.
So don't go ahead and look at right away, oh, what's happening. Watch the team. Like that 2012 and 2013 team, especially the 2012 team, it picked up momentum and it dealt with injuries. Ricky Ray didn't play much or some games in the back half of the season. You know, knock on wood, that's not going to be his foe. But Milanovich is somebody that is not risk averse, and he's not somebody who, as the ebbs and flows of the season happen, he's not someone who makes drastic changes or does anything. He sticks to his process, and we know it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's done it for decades now, and he's been all over, whether it's the NFL or the CFL. And you mentioned that point about Jared Baines and bringing in that youthful look and giving those chances. He's doing the same thing in a way with Naaman Roosevelt, that receiving coach. He's got Brandon Isaac coming in as a DB coach.
And that Brandon Isaac piece, I was speaking to Milanovich about this recently. That's huge because BI was on that 2012 team. And if you're looking at somebody who, as a player, Brandon Isaac was no nonsense. Like Brandon Isaac was the kind of guy who, if you came around, if you were an opposing player and you came in his vicinity, you would know right away that you were not supposed to be there. but he has taken that kind of focused energy and aggression. And as a coach, the guys want to play for him because they look at a guy who knows what it's like. And he's one of those coaches who not only brings a perspective in terms of schematics and not only from X's and O's, but you look at him and he looks at you like, oh yeah, no, you could put the helmet on today and you would 100% be ready to go out there. And, and that's going to be really crucial because as I go back to that 2012 team, Scott Milanovic knows he can only be successful if he's got successful people around him. And that really is, that's not, Orlando Steinauer is the same way and Kent Austin was the same way. But I look at the way Scott Milanovic is in his track record. If he's going to be successful, it's also mean that the guys, the coaches around him are going to be super successful too.
Going to be exciting to watch. One final question for you before we go, Matt, but how do you feel this Ticats team is shaping up in the East? Because I feel like the East is, you've seen a lot of teams look a lot different now, but how do you feel they shape up compared to the rest?
You know, I've been talking to people. This is a revenge season in a lot of ways. I look across the league. And I look at teams that are chomping at the bit and players on every team that are chomping at the bit. And going from, you know, west to east, the BC Lions, it kind of feels like 2011 all over again, although that was a very special season because they started terribly. I think they were 1-6 and still won the Grey Cup. But Vernon Adams Jr., with his contract extension, and he will be keen to make a point, especially with William Stanback now as the guy he's handing the ball off to. The Calgary Stampeders. Calgary Stampeders do not like being seen as an underachieving team, and they underachieved last year. And Dave Dickinson, who just brought his brother in as a senior consultant, they will be keen to remind everybody who they are. You know, the Edmonton Elks are going through an ownership review right now, but there are elements on that team. And McLeod Bethel Thompson, let's not forget. Yes, Chad Kelly came in and helped the Argos win a Grey Cup, but McLeod Bethel Thompson is going to be coming in to prove something as a guy in his mid-30s who can still sling it. And then you look at the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Trevor Harris is coming back. Corey Mace is going to want to make an impression as a head coach. And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers lost last year, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have now lost two straight Grey Cups, and they're not used to that. And they will have something to say. And then in the East, Ottawa has to prove something this year. And bringing Drew Brown in, how's that quarterback situation going to look? And they did go ahead and spend a little bit of money bringing the Darius Pickett in on defense. And the Ticats will definitely want to make an impact because, quite frankly, they wanted to be in that Grey Cup. You and I both know they wanted to be in that Grey Cup last year, and it was a disappointment for the season to end the way it did in Montreal. And the Argos, after having, you know, tying having a record-breaking season for them as a franchise, but coming up short in the East Final, they'll have something to say because I know that elements in that locker room were very disappointed with what happened in the East Final. But everybody now is chasing Montreal, and it's kind of funny because, like, the Alouettes, they will remind you, were seen as the ninth of nine teams last year going into the season. Crazy. And they have, for the most part, kind of stayed consistent with who they have and the players on their team. But what are they going to say? Everyone's got something. I mean, it's always the case, but especially this year. Every team has got something to say. It's no longer like, oh, well, you know, as it was for a handful of seasons, well, the Ticats should be the best team in the East and the Bombers should be the best team in the West. No, it's like everybody. Like, there are so many permutations of different matchups for the Grey Cup, which I'm so excited for, to be back in BC Place in Vancouver after a great Grey Cup last year. As you know, we just saw the stats come out about the Grey Cup in Hamilton. This is going to be an exciting season. So, you know, if friggin' hold on your hats because – this is not going to play out in one particular way. I think there's going to be a lot of left turns, but I think you and I will be talking throughout the season going like, wow, we're going to be saying, I think, quite a bit. We weren't expecting this.
For sure. What a breakdown. Honestly, that was incredible. Matt, it's always great to catch up with you, man. And it's good to finally see you after a couple months here. It's going to be an exciting season. I would hate to be an odds maker right now because, like you said, you're looking at these teams like, how do you even guess what's going to happen this season?
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I don't. I will admit I stay out of that arena. My job is just to wear suits and sneakers and to tell stories and,
yep.
you know, for better or worse. But, man, there's going to be a lot of good stories to tell this year, man. I you know, honestly, what are we, 7-8 weeks away from the start of training yeah. camp? I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you once again for joining me today, man.
Cheers, brother. Always good to see you.